Remember what we talked about last week? Does anybody remember? Giving. Yeah, we were talking about giving. And we called it practically giving. It was part one. I didn't know it was going to be a two-parter, but I kind of had my suspicions because I had a lot of pages of notes. So this week, we're gonna start practically giving part two. And I think this will be probably where we end. As I said last week, I'm not a big preacher on giving. I don't usually even preach more than one message every couple of years on giving. But this was on my heart, and I thought it would be a blessing to you all. And if you didn't hear last week's message, I really encourage you to, because it said a lot of stuff that built up for this week, including me saying something that probably made some people tilt their head a little bit, which is, I'm telling you, you don't have to tithe. In fact, it's not a New Testament, New Covenant thing at all. What? Now, for some people, I've just killed the calf. And for some people, I've just set them free and they're never going to give again. Neither of those is appropriate. Neither of those is an appropriate reaction. So here's what I asked as I was ending last week, because I actually listened to the message again to make sure what I said. And again, you should listen to it if you didn't hear it. But under the leading of the Spirit in the New Covenant, under the New Covenant, are we required to tithe? That's the question that I want to work on today. If you will look at, turn to Matthew chapter 5. We're going to get there real quick. And we'll look at several other scriptures. But I will tell you this, you can look this up later. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, I believe verse 2, is the only place where Paul actually gives anybody a directive about their giving, and it was when they should give. And he was telling them concerning a special offering that was going on that they should set aside something. He didn't say specifically what, just something on the first day of the week. And from that, we may gather that it is not a bad idea for us, too, to set aside something on the first day of the week. When is the first day of the week? Sunday. Yeah, I know. And it feels like Monday. Somebody said Monday. It's Sunday. Sunday's the first day of the week. So it's just a thought, but he didn't say, set aside your tithe, or set aside this amount, or you got to do this, or you got to do that. Paul never says that anywhere to any of the churches, and Paul wrote all the letters, almost all the epistles to the churches, not all, and none of the writers says anything about there being a specific amount to give. And they do talk about not being under the law, but under grace. And I said some things that will help with that, again, in last week's message, but while I do agree that under the covenant we don't have to tithe, under the new covenant, under the old covenant, we were given an obligation to give a certain amount. Under the new covenant, we have no such obligation, because we're obligated under the new covenant to give everything. 100%. All of it. Everything. My breath, my blood, my sweat, my tears, my activities, my minutes, my moments. They all belong to God. The new covenant always takes us further than the old covenant. That's what I'm getting at. And let me give you an example. Here we are in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 27. You've read this before. You've heard me talk about it before. You have heard that it was said, verse 27, to those of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery in his heart. You see the difference between the two covenants? One covenant has a set of regulations and the other one has a set of responsibilities. One covenant has these things that you have to do on this level in a religious sort of way, and the other one has a responsibility to go beyond what was the old covenant. One covenant said 10% is God, 90% is yours. Under the new covenant, it's all God's and none of it's yours. So do you have to tithe? No, you have to give it all. Oh, well, I see what you're saying. Do you? Because there are a lot of folks, I think, that they can do this tithing thing and the heavenly mafia won't attack them. If I tithe, then God's going to do this and this and this and this and this. I'm good. I paid my money. He won't come and get me. By the way, I believe in tithing, and I have practiced tithing my entire life. I've been a Christian since 1971. Even in my first job when I was 12, before 1971, that would have been 69. I made 67 cents? 68 cents. Got a frog in my throat. Now he's swimming. And I made 68 cents an hour, I think, working at a a little pet store. Would ride my bike 7 miles to the pet store as a 12-year-old without any parental supervision. Different world. And I would get there and I would work, and then I gave. My parents taught me to do that. And to be honest, back then, my parents were probably a little bit more on the you have to tithe thing. You have to pay the tithe to God because that's his, but the rest of it's mine. It was kind of the attitude when I was a young guy. I believe New Covenant people, though, should exceed the Old Covenant in their levels of financial faithfulness and generosity. Just like not committing adultery is less than not even looking, tithing is less than the level of generosity that God would expect from us under a new covenant. Now you're scared, aren't you? Yep. So we're going to take up an offering today, and I want you to just empty your checkbooks. No, not at all. Not at all. That's not how it works. So let me be honest. When I first came to this church, there I think were probably people 25 years ago this fall who would have thought that if I would have preached this, they would have been like, heretic! They gave because they didn't want God to whack them. They gave because they had been taught that God would curse them if they didn't give a tithe. That's not what I teach, and I don't believe it's what the Bible teaches, so I'm going to take you through it. If you're ready, get to Malachi. Or as some have said, the Italian prophet Malachi. I didn't think anybody would even laugh at that. I got two laughs. That was amazing. Okay, I'll take it. Malachi chapter 3. And most of you can get there pretty quick. Some of you are trying to find where Malachi is. It's in the Old Testament, just toward the very end of the Old Testament, just before the New Testament, if you can find that much. And so this is, we're going to start right off with the verse that is, ha! Preached by the Pentecostal preachers. Ha, ha, ha. And it's the one that some people like to beat on people with. Verse 8. Will a man rob God, yet you have robbed me? But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food on my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there is not room enough to receive it, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. Every time you get paid, you get a chance to take a test. Who are you going to think about first with what you receive, with your income? Are you going to think about Visa or MasterCard? Well, sometimes you are, aren't you? Why? Because they send mean letters. Don't raise your hand. This is a rhetorical question. Don't raise your hand. How many of you have ever gotten a mean letter from somebody wanting money from you? Yeah, some hands went up anyway. I think probably all of us have, although Lisa's been very good. I got to give her credit. She's been good about making sure we don't get those kind of things. She handles the finances, and I appreciate it. God says, you have robbed me in tithes and offerings. Let me ask you something. Does God need your money? Will God can? Will he be less comfortable in heaven if you don't tithe? Yeah, I don't think so. I used to have a rental property, and if the people with the rental property didn't pay their rent, it made me uncomfortable. It didn't kill me, but it made me uncomfortable because I had expenses connected to the rental property, and so when they didn't pay, it made me uncomfortable. But God is not going to get uncomfortable if you don't pay your rent. I can promise you that. And you're not paying rent. That's not what the tithe is supposed to be about anyway. The finances of heaven aren't affected. Somebody says, well, what about the finances of the church? Yeah, I suppose we can be. But that's not really what this is all about anyway. When God says, you've robbed me, what have you robbed from God? The God who can get whatever he wants from your bank account anytime he wants, the God who doesn't need anything, what have you robbed him of? The real answer is we're robbing God of blessing us, of having an opportunity to bless us the way that he wants to, of God teaching us, helping us to become the kind of stewards that he wants us to be, to become the kind of people he wants us to be, to become what he wants us to learn faith, to trust him. There's so many things that we get robbed of, and God feels robbed because he had the opportunity to do something for us, and now he doesn't. Jesus said, you cannot hold on to God and to money. You will serve one and despise the other, or you cling to the one and have nothing to do with the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You can't hold on to both. So sometimes we have these opportunities to see whether we're going to hold on or whether we're going to be a little more loose. Have you ever heard the song, Hold On Lucy, Loosely? And the thing is, you are cursed with a curse if you take away God's blessing. Aren't you? I mean, you're just down here making it happen like everybody else. See, I've been cheating my whole life. I cheat. I don't have to worry about whether I can provide for me, or whether my job can provide for me, or whether my church can provide for me, or whether my intelligence can provide for me. I've been cheating my whole life. I've been letting God provide for me. He's done really well. There have been times when it looked like we were going to crash and burn. And God provided. You're not cursed with a curse. Jesus came to redeem us from the curse. What the scripture says. The whole earth is under a curse, but when we walk in the light of Christ, we become redeemed from the curse. So if I willingly choose to step outside of God's plan and purpose for my life, I can expect things not to go so well. Let me give you a more practical example, maybe something a little easier for you to get your head around or wrap your arms around. If I go out and get drunk and drive and slam into somebody, does that sound blessed? That would be cursed. But I'm not a Christian? Do I not believe in God? But he's not obligated to keep me from stupid if I want to be stupid. How many of you know God will let you be stupid all you want to be? Some of you are married. You know that happens because your spouse tells you. So, you know. So here's the reality. God wants to open up some windows for you. I'm not talking about Windows 10. God wants to open up some windows for you. He says, I want to open up the windows of the storehouse of heaven. What's a window? Well, we all have seen windows. There's windows in this building. These windows, though, interestingly, are covered because we don't want to flood out the words on the wall. And then there's a little bit of light getting in through them, but there's no air getting through them because they're just solid. They're different than some windows. Windows are a metaphor. I know some people think that there's this thing up here above us, And then God opens up the windows of heaven, and then money drops on our heads. Yeah, that's not what God wants to do. In the world at the time that the writer wrote this, windows had two major purposes. One was to let in light, and one was to let in air. And that's pretty much it. Ventilation and revelation. They wanted to see something inside their house. They needed a little bit of light inside there. They poked a hole in the wall. They didn't have glass, so it became ventilation as well as light. God wants to open up the windows of wisdom and understanding, the windows of health and safety, the windows of relationship and connection. You name it. God wants to open up windows. He just wants these things to flow through. He wants you to have a revelation of His will for you, and He wants you to have the inspiration of the Spirit. Inspiration, Spirit, wind. The wind flows in and out when the windows are open. The light comes in and out when the windows are open. He wants you to have that in every area of life. I think that's a big deal. I want that in every area of my life. And we exchange, as I mentioned last week, our life energy for these green pieces of paper that give us a way to have a currency so that we can connect with other people so that they can exchange their energy for our energy, and the energy is going back and forth. Well, God wants to give us revelation on all that as well. But that's not the only thing He wants to give us revelation on. So here's what I believe. I believe, for me, personally, I can't afford not to tithe. That's just how it's always been for me. Like, I've always given more than that. We give a larger percentage of our finances than probably the average Christian, because we're kind of nuts. But you know, God says He'll give back to us, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Last week's message. You didn't get last week's message. I believe I cannot afford to tithe, but I do believe there are times when people are in a position where they would literally go hungry or lack shelter if they tithed. Now, what do you mean? You mean God wouldn't provide? Well, I think God would provide if they'd give God a chance to provide, but how many of you know it's kind of hard to ask somebody who's hungry, whose belly button's rubbing their backbone, to just give more? And I want to make sure they feed their kids, and I want to make sure they clothe their family. And I've seen people who had a hard time with the tithe thing. It happens. So what I tell people is, if you can't start there, start somewhere. Start on that first day of the week thing, that first day after you get paid thing, and say, Lord, I want to be a good steward of what You've given me. What do You want me to do? How many think that might actually work? God might actually talk to you. By the way, I have preached something similar to this once before. There was a time when our church was going through some stuff financially, and I just encourage people, just give what you can. Just ask God, what can you give? And maybe give a little extra for some people. And you know what happened? People who hadn't been given anything because they were under the obligation of tithing and they couldn't do that, so they weren't doing anything, just started giving a dollar here and a dollar there. And the next thing you know, finances were better. By the way, finances are pretty good right now. I can't complain. For a church our size, we've been twice this size and seen less giving. Hello? Makes you scratch your head a little, doesn't it? But the Lord's providing. So, can't afford to tithe, it happens. Just start where you are. But I will say, I think it's rare in our culture, honestly. Even in the time that we're in right now, a lot of people can give more than they would have been able to even just a few years ago, even though gasoline has gotten a little expensive. But come here every week for your latest update on Kex Market. That's what we've been doing here, right? Right? I believe that when someone begins to give faithfully, whatever that level is, that it might be a little tough initially, but as they do it faithfully, God will be faithful back, and they will see the changes in their life in so many areas. This exchange with God can have amazing results. And God promises to bless us with more. And so it may not start as more in my finances, but I believe that God can give us more. How many of you have ever had God show you how to save money and you didn't have to spend it? I have. What if God showed you something smart that you could do that would just keep you from having to spend money that you're spending? Well, ask. I believe if you ask, you will receive. And I believe that the more that God wants to give us will be seen sometimes in the sacrifice. You might, just as a real practical thing here, since I'm practically speaking, you might look into your finances and you might say to yourself, Now some of you, by the way, are already comfortable in what you give. That's a dangerous place to be too. Oh yeah, now you're really messing. I'm not even saying give it here, by the way. I'm just saying, when you listen to God, you're a steward of his finances, you're a steward of your life, you're a steward of every breath you take for him, he might ask you to do some things differently for his kingdom's sake. Don't even get me started on him asking you to breathe harder because you had to exercise. We won't go there. Some people will find out if they actually ask God for help, he'll show them where they can find 10%. I know people who spend more than 10% of their income eating out. And while I don't want to stop you from eating out at Pizza Hut, just saying, for those who, well, you don't need to know. Somebody forks Pizza Hut here. But, you know, what I'm saying is, you know, if you start to look and say, God, where can I find where you want me to maybe change a few things so I can be giving? Now, why do I want you to do this again? Well, that was last week's message a lot. But why do I want you to do this again? So that the windows of God's blessing can be poured, opened up for you, so that you can have revelation and inspiration, so that God can lead you by his Spirit, so that you get to the point where I can go where God wants me to go. By the way, if you go where God wants you to go when you don't have much, you're more likely to go where God wants you to go when you have much. And that's a good reason for God to give you much. Does that make sense? Like, if I can't trust that person with a dime out of a dollar, how can I trust them with 10 million out of, what would 10%, 10 million would be 10% of 100 million. Anybody here would like to have 100 million? So many liars out there, I didn't see enough hands. I'm just saying, but before he gives you 100 million, I'm thinking he probably wants to make sure that you're going to do good with what you've got. And I'm not there. You notice I'm not $100 billion, you know, rich guy or anything. And quite honestly, I'm thankful that I'm not. Right? Somebody says, well, are you a 5-talent, a 2-talent, or a 1-talent guy? I'd be happy just to be whatever he says I am and not try to do any more than that. Makes sense to me. How about you? Yeah. You know, in some cases, if people would change their spending just 1% in about 10 different areas of their life, they'd find out that they could mathematically give a little bit more. Maybe in 10 areas of life and end up with 10%. And again, I'm not saying this because our church is hurting financially. We're doing fine. Luke 16, verses 10 through 11 says, he who is faithful in what is least is also faithful in much. He who is unjust in what is least is also unjust in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? What are the true riches? Those are the things where we, you know, I want to be faithful in the unjust stuff, but I would love for God to use me in true riches. True riches are where I pour into people's lives, where people are healed and touched and ministered to and powerfully affected and their lives are changed. That's what a preacher lives for usually. Well, not all of them maybe, but it is this one. You know, as much as I want to grow the church And as much as I would like to see this church grow, I'm more interested in growing you than I am in growing the church. Is that okay? And as long as you're breathing, I think God wants you to grow. I know, we just, in the life cycle of human beings, we grow for a while, and then we reach a certain age, and then we stop growing. And I've even heard people say, when you stop growing, you start dying. Thank goodness it takes longer to die than it does to grow. But the reality is, I think in the Spirit, we should all continue to grow. So when it comes to giving, and whatever you do in giving, even if it's just a little bit, every little bit starts to help you move toward what God wants you to have in your life. Every little bit opens up those windows of heaven for a little more revelation, a little more inspiration to do what God wants you to do so that you can start being that person that God wants you to be. Oh, we don't say that around here ever, do we? Be the one. We don't ever say that around here. But that's just my heart for you. Givers are better attenders, better leaders, better followers, better worshipers. Why? Because they are better stewards. And better stewards get better rewards. And when we are unfaithful in the unrighteous stuff, we become that kind of steward who can be trusted with all the true things. And I want for all of us just to take that to the next level, whatever that is. And you know what? When you get to the next level, you'll be there for a while, and you know what will happen after that? He'll try to take you to the next level. I don't ever want to get satisfied where I am. I don't ever want to just be... So let me just end this by reminding you that there was a guy once named J.C. Penney. Anybody remember when we had a Penney's in town? A lot of them are closed now. Is there still Penny's in Fort Wayne? Yeah? And still in Toledo? Yeah? Big cities have Penny's. That sounds funny. I remember the story of J.C. Penney, who started out as a tither. And when he reached the end of his life, he was giving 90% and keeping 10. That was his stewardship testimony. I haven't gotten there yet. But I wonder if I can just be a little bit more aware. One of my problems is my wife gives to all sorts of things and to all sorts of people, and she doesn't always tell me, and I don't always ask. As I mentioned last week, I'm a curmudgeon, and she's just a giver. I have no idea what percentage of our finances are actually going. I have an idea. But I am thankful because as we've done that, I've watched the Lord bless us. Financially, yes, but in more ways. We feel blessed. We are blessed with the light of God's presence because He directed us to this place almost 25 years ago. We are blessed because we know some of you and we know a whole lot of people in this community. And we found out that the light of God, the inspiration of God to come here was followed up by the revelation that living in Flatland wasn't that bad. We kind of like it now. We go down to the hills and we do this thing and we're like, oh, okay. So, you know, I just want God to bless you and I just want every one of you to be put in a place where God can bless you. And so, this isn't a thing where now you'll go out of here and you'll go like, well, Lord, what do you want me to do? I have to change something. No. I just want you to go out and make sure that you are listening. That if you're listening, you're listening. And that you're doing what God wants you to do. And then everything else will be taken care of. Because God's not running out of... How many of you know God could pour out a blessing... He could have somebody walk through the doors in the next 5 minutes and say, I was praying this morning and the Lord got me up at 4 o'clock and I drove here from several hours away and the Lord said, find this little church in Defiance called Bethel and give them $1 billion. I don't think he will because that would be really a burden. I mean, I think it would. Yeah, it would. Like, how do I manage that? I have enough trouble managing what I got, let alone managing that for the kingdom. So I'd have to really listen carefully, and our board would have to listen carefully, and it'd be some work. So I just want to say, God bless you, and thank you to everyone in this congregation who's been faithful in your giving. I really appreciate it, and we are a blessed church. Amen? All right, good. All right. I'm going to pray. Father, just thank you for touching us, for directing us, for moving us into a place where as we listen to your voice and we act faithfully, stewarding our time, our talents, everything that we've got, including our finances, that you're just going to bless us and open up our eyes to see you do great things for us and for those around us. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.